From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in 2009 near the southern edge of Seneca Lake. A Texas company called Crestwood put forth a proposal to expand gas storage in the salt caverns nearby on property that the company owns. That proposal would add at least 450 million cubic feet of natural gas storage to the existing storage, as well as adding 2.1 million barrels of liquefied petroleum gas, or LPG. The company viewed it as a natural expansion in a safe place, the salt caverns near the lake, which the company says that's an ideal setting for LPG. But dozens of Finger Lakes business owners and residents have protested the project. Their position has two main prongs. First, they don't trust the idea that the gas is safe there, that it is an ideal setting. Their caverns are lined with a combination of salt, shale, and other things. And second, they argue that the Finger Lakes has become a wine and tourism industry, and heavy industry will detract from that scene in a major way. Two of the world's most highly regarded wine professionals have come from far away to launch Finger Lakes projects in recent years. We're talking about Louis Barol of France and Paul Hobbs of California. Both have said this year that had they known about plans to expand LPG storage in industry, they might have scrapped their own operations. So what now? Since October, more than 100 people have been arrested for demonstrating on the site, peaceful protesting, which includes the owners of some of the most highly regarded wineries in the region. This hour, we've invited a number of stakeholders on the program to tell us why things have really ramped up in the last few weeks. We've invited Crestwood to join us, and a spokesperson told us this morning they were not available to join the live program, but they would try to find time on a different day, and we are certainly wanting to welcome them in the future. We hope that we can. In the meantime, the company directed us to a website called New York Propane Advocacy for their view of the current situation. In studio for the hour is Will Olean, owner of Oneida Vineyards, and you might know Eagle Crest as well. And Will is here in studio. Thanks for taking the time, Will.
Good afternoon, Evan. Thanks for having us today on this talk show. It's a great opportunity for us to expose the issues.
You got it. Down at our Hobart and William Smith studios is Joseph Campbell of Gas Free Seneca. Joseph, thank you for taking the time.
And thank you for having us on.
On the line with us as well is Lou Damiani, the co-owner of Damiani Wine Cellars on the southeast side of Seneca Lake. Lou, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Good, Evan. Thanks for having me. Just making sure, can you hear me good?
We can. We can hear you just fine. Very good, Lou. And just a brief interlude before we get to this conversation. The world has been watching Sydney, Australia, where a siege recently ended. And real briefly, I just want to invite my colleague Matthew Leonard, who's not only the editor of the Innovation Trail, but an Australian with some insight into what's going on. So real briefly.
This is my hometown, my old hometown. So coming up on about 2 hours ago, police and I believe Special Air Services, which is a commando unit, stormed a coffee shop where hostages had been held, about 10 to 15 hostages. They were being held. The police identified the guy who was armed. His name was Manharon Monis. He was a refugee from Iran who arrived in Australia in 1996. He was sort of a self-proclaimed Iranian cleric. He had a very, very violent and checkered criminal history. He was actually out on bail as an accessory in the murder of his late wife. And he's facing like 40 sexual assault charges. So the thing to say is this guy clearly seems to be a crazy outlier, not someone who has any real connections to any sort of planned terrorist action. He had tried to have his charges overturned in a court of law on Friday and clearly felt he had very little to lose, but he was using not the Islamic State or the ISIL flag, but using one that had Islamic connections. Very important to say that that the Islamic communities, as they do here in the States, very quickly came out, you know, while the siege was active and denounced it in the strongest terms, saying that this man had absolutely no connection to the principles of Islam at all, and there's been interfaith prayer vigils and so on. So as far as I can assess, just watching the last couple of hours of it, the siege ended with this pretty dramatic commando raid, and the reports are suggesting that there are two dead, one hostage and the gunman. So it's kind of resolved, but we're not going to have any official news from the relevant police, the New South Wales Police Force, for some time. So that's kind of just sort of a summary of it. His actions were also denounced by the Grand Mufti, the senior Islamic leader in Australia. And also one of the stories that people have been talking about is trending on social media has been a hashtag called "I'll Ride With You." This came out of concern from non-Muslim Australians about the sort of stigmatising of people in Islamic dress, particularly women who mm-hmm. wear traditional Muslim garb on public transport in Australia, who people felt would be the object of abuse or derision. And so there's been a kind of, and there's some interesting sort of stats, it's kind of trending 120,000 tweets worldwide, not just in Australia, with this kind of offer of support for people who are clearly, potentially at risk from being abused if people want to make the false connection between this disturbed outlook. Actions in Australia and the broader issue of what we're dealing with in the Islamic State.
Thank you for the update. And I know if anything else happens, or at least our understanding changes here, Matthew can help us with that, with his understanding, his connection to the area there. Thank you, Matthew.
Sure, no problem.
Matthew Leonard is the editor of the Innovation Trail. The Innovation Trail has also done extensive reporting on the issue of LPG storage. And if you go to our website there, you can find some of the work we've been doing going back a number of months and years now. And let me start with Joseph Campbell, who again is joining us from our studios at Hobart and William Smith College. And Joseph, Gas Free Seneca formed in 2011 to oppose this project, but give us a broad view of what the project is. I mean, some people hear gas storage and it's hard for them to picture what we're talking about. What already exists and what would the project add?
What already exists is almost 90 abandoned salt caverns that were created over the past 100 years or so by the process of solution mining for salt. They pump water down into the salt layer. They swirl it around until it gets saturated with salt. It becomes what's known as brine. They pump it out. They send it down to the salt plant, and they evaporate off the water, and they're left with some relatively high-quality salt, table salt, and even medical salt. So if you go in the hospital and you get an IV drip, chances are you've got Seneca-like salt going into your veins. What already exists is a small amount of the natural gas or methane storage in a couple of these salt caverns, and that's about it. And what they have planned is expanding that natural gas methane storage to 2 billion cubic feet. And more disturbing to us, and what really got our attention back in 2011, was the plan to put 2.1 million barrels, which equates to 88.2 million gallons of liquefied propane and butane under enormous pressure down in these abandoned salt caverns. Now these salt caverns were never designed for this purpose. These are not lined; they're just holes in the salt layer. You probably know that this isn't a homogeneous salt layer. It's not a salt dome like they have in other areas of the country where they're doing this. Salt domes are homogeneous layers or formations of salt. These are called bedded salt caverns. In other words, it's a layer of salt, a layer of shale, a layer of salt, a layer of shale. So when they're solution mining for salt 50, 60, 70 years ago, they weren't thinking that somewhere down the road we might want to put, pressurized hydrocarbons in these caverns. Along with that comes the above ground infrastructure, which is very disturbing to think about on the shore of Seneca Lake, the heart of the Finger Lakes, the largest body of fresh water solely within New York State borders, a source of drinking water for roughly 100,000 people, a six-track industrial rail siding, a truck loading and unloading depot, 60-foot active burning flare stack, two large open-air brine ponds. And this is just the start of what they have planned. If you go to their website and you click on the link to U.S. Salt, they brag to their investors that they have over 40 million barrels of previously solution mined cavern capacity, in their words, convertible to, quote, energy storage. So We're of the opinion that this Houston, Texas-based gas and oil corporation is testing the waters here. They're going to see if they can get away with this initial gas storage, their initial gas storage plans. And once they get their foot in the door, it's a simple matter of going back to the DEC and saying, hey, we found a couple more caverns. We'd like to put some more propane or butane in.
All right. So there's a look at kind of the broad outline. And Again, I want to stress to our listeners, we have invited Crestwood to join us. I hope they will on a future program, and I'm going to try to cite from some of the materials they send me, because I think that's an important part of the discussion. But in recent weeks here, there have been, I think, there's been a little bit more activity. I'm hearing from more wine industry owners. Will Olin is here. Lou Damiani on the phone. Will, you're here not because your winery is on Seneca Lake, but because you source some fruit from there, and frankly, you kind of view yourself as a citizen of the region concerned enough to get involved. Fair?
That's fair, Evan. The Seneca Lake wine-growing community is more expansive than just the people that are on Seneca Lake. A lot of us source our fruit from Seneca Lake. It's the main grape-growing lake of the 11 in the Appalachian. And we think that the planned industrialization on the south end threatens some vineyards that are very close to that facility, as well as the entire Finger Lakes brand, because if there were a catastrophic event, and the industry itself admits that they occur all the time, it could be detrimental to the Finger Lakes brand. It could even be fatal to the Finger Lakes brand.
And I want to be, again, I think there are two main complaints that I hear, and I might be maybe overly compartmentalizing, but again, the main complaints are, number one, concern about the safety and the integrity of the project, and number two, even if you could be certain it's safe, is this the right kind of project for a region that relies on tourism, wine industry, a bucolic setting, et cetera? Will, I know that's a little bit of an oversimplification, but fair?
Very fair. Those are my two primary concerns. And I would say the second concern, the overarching effect it could have on the brand if there was something to happen, or just the industrialization that's planned. As we've heard previously today, you know, they use a strategy called segmentation, which is they'll get in, a gas company will get in and do minor development, establish local relationships with the elected officials, and assure people that the operation at the scale that they initially try is safe, but they have, with their investors, discuss great plans to expand. And I don't think that the Finger Lakes, being wine country, should also be gas country.
Well, okay, a couple of points. I want to ask Will a specific question, then I want to follow up with Lou Damiani, who's on the line with us. So first of all, Will, your claim is that the industry has indicated that they concede the point that there have been issues with this kind of storage. Well, Crestwood directs me to NewYorkPropaneAdvocacy.com, in which they say, quote, propane has been stored safely in Schuyler County for more than 50 years. Salt caverns are ideal for hydrocarbon storage and have been used for decades all around the world. A 2004 report from the FERC states that, quote, the walls of a salt cavern also have the structural strength of steel, end quote. So I don't think they're agreeing with your assessment that there are routine issues.
They may not be agreeing with our assessment, but they also have neglected to incorporate into their permit application previous knowledge of the structural collapse of one of the two caverns that they're talking about.
They claim it never happened.
They claim it never happened. We claim, and there's other studies that predated their ownership, that say a 400,000-ton rock fell from the roof of one of the two caverns that's indicated for the initial storage plan.
And what happens if that happens again in your mind? What's the concern?
Seismic activity and collapse of salt caverns, catastrophic collapse, could lead to an underground explosion. It could lead to massive leakage. It could lead to sinkhole activity. It could lead to just headlines in every newspaper in the world when you Google Finger Lakes. And it could be enough when people, tourists from Pennsylvania and Ohio and other states looking to escape their industrialization, come here. They'd say, it's just more of the same. I'm not going to the Finger Lakes. They've got the same issues with gas storage as the rest of us.
Lou Damiani is on the line with us, and Lou is the co-owner of really an outstanding winery on the southeast side of Seneca Lake called Damiani. And Lou, on the issue of whether this kind of industry development could impact or cripple the wine industry, in other words, the argument that says these do not exist side by side, you wouldn't put a factory in the middle of Yellowstone National Park, why would you build this kind of industry in the Finger Lakes? Here's what Crestwood says as they direct me to the website. Quote, propane storage facilities have been operating safely in the Finger Lakes for decades, and during that same time, wine and tourism industries have flourished, and the facility will not be visible from on or across Seneca Lake. In other words, Lou, Crestwood is saying the industry is doing wonderfully well, and we're already there. So what's the concern, Lou?
Well, again, thanks for having us all
sure.
on.
Sure.
To, discuss this really important issue. Many of us would prefer to spend our time and money doing other things than fighting this, but here's where we're at. So, yes, Crestwood, and formerly known as Energy, I think if we go look at some of the history there, they're not always the best neighbor, first of all. The gas industry, you know, has to say what they're not going to tell you the full truth, that there's been numerous accidents across the country, especially gas that is stored in salt wells. We can call these wells. And this type of salt well, where it's not, as Joseph was saying previously, the dome salt well, which would obviously take better pressure. Secondly, we're on an earthquake fault line where these salt wells are. Given that, the potential for catastrophic problems taking place is truly there. There's two things. I worked in the salt companies as a young man. So, first of all, I'd like to tell you that there is very few things as corrosive as salt. And number two, there is very few things as explosive as natural gas or propane. So, you know, to minimize the problems that can result from mixing these two with equipment, human error, you know, they said the Titanic couldn't sink either, Evan. Engineers like to say that we can do stuff without any problems. We've had a very respected scientist and surgeon, retired CEO of Cayuga Medical Center, come up with really high possibility and probability in his qualitative risk analysis, which, by the way, Crestwood was very lacking in sharing their QRA with us. If they're so certain about safety issues, why didn't they have the QRA, the qualitative risk analysis, be public with public input so we could go through all these issues and we could include an economic analysis? They didn't. They kept it closed, as they do with most stuff. They really are not trying to be a good neighbor, or else everything would be open and we would be working on this together. That has not been the case. We have in the Finger Lakes over, you know, with the tourist industry and the wine industry, and Seneca Lake is at the heart of that. We like to say the wine industry is at the heart of it, but the real heart of it is nature and Seneca Lake, this very special lake. And we have over a $3 billion a year tourist industry in the Finger Lakes. And that's renewable, sustainable, and we're able to pass it on to future generations. What they're doing is 10 to 12 jobs. Let's put the scope of economics into this, because they're talking 10 to 12 jobs with huge potential risk. So if you take that and you compare it to what the wine and tourist industry has done, there's just no comparison.
That's right. Let me just jump in, Lou, and say that's absolutely what Lou is saying there, citing numbers that even the most optimistic job forecasts from the company indicate a few dozen jobs. It's not going to be a large operation in terms of employment. But the company will tell you, and maybe I can get a reaction from the panel on a text message that I got from a Finger Lakes winery owner and a principal in a Finger Lakes winery that I'm not sure was for public consumption, so I'm not going to mention the name, but I think it merits being read here. And so let me go ahead and read that. It came in this morning, and it says, one question that seems to come up, why does it fall on the opponents to prove that a storage could be bad? Well, which there are obviously many reasons for. Is there anyone asking why it is good? Is there anyone who can voice their opinion why this is a reasonably good idea for the area, except for businessmen and politicians? Well, I think it's a fair question. And, you know, Joseph Campbell from Gas Free Seneca, I'll start with you and we'll kind of go around the panel. The company is saying they don't really dispute what Lou is saying in terms of jobs. It's not going to be a huge job creator, but they're saying that this is going to lower energy costs for you, for Will O'Lean at Oneida and Eagle Crest, that it's going to lower energy costs for Lou Damiani, that there will be a benefit for all of us around here. What do you say to that, Joseph?
Well, I think that's patently ridiculous on the face of it. They're talking about propane as a home heating source and a home heating fuel. And what the company supplied us with were U.S. Census Bureau statistics. And I ran the numbers. And let me just put this whole thing into context for you. The company's also claiming that the lack of local propane storage cost New Yorkers $100 million last year. Okay, well, we have in the 14-county Finger Lakes region about 45,000 homes that rely on propane, and in all of New York State, about 225,000 homes that rely on propane for heat. Already within a 60-mile radius of Watkins Glen and Seneca Lake, there's enough propane in underground storage to heat about 600,000 homes, and with this expansion, we'd have enough propane underground to heat about 850,000 homes. So the question is, where is all that extra propane going? And it also begs the question, you know, with all of that local storage of propane, why did my cost of propane keep pace with the national average last year? The reason is because the propane is priced, it's a market commodity, and it's set, the market price is set based on supply and demand. There were shortages nationwide last year. One of the problems we had with the Northeast was that a major pipeline that normally supplies the Northeast with propane was reversed last year to carry ethane produced from Marcellus shale fracking south to the Gulf for manufacturing and export. Propane exports last year were at record levels with over 400,000 barrels of propane a day going out the door. This project is not going to save anybody any money. It's going to make the company money. The company wants to, of course, they're going to sugarcoat this. They get paid to store this stuff. They're not producing it. They're not buying and selling it. They're getting paid to store it. The salt caverns are ready-made storage for these guys. This is not going to save anybody any money. It's just going to line the pockets of Crestwood's investors. And the money, by the way, is going back to Houston, Texas. It's not even staying here locally. The company also talks about a financial benefit to the area. They don't pay sales tax on this stuff. About all it's going to generate is a few hundred thousand dollars in property taxes.
They claim $20 million to the tax base.
No, $20 million to the tax base, which also on the faces of it is nonsense. I mean, where do they come up with that figure? There is, you mentioned that there is, or the company claims that the propane has been stored safely here for I don't know how many years. There was propane stored in salt caverns for a 20-year period between about 1964 and 1984. The company that was storing that propane abruptly moved operations about a mile away from the lake and into specially constructed, engineered, lined, shallow rock caverns. They don't require rail sidings. They don't require brine ponds. The other two storage facilities that are near here, they are in salt, but they were also specially designed, engineered, and constructed for the purpose of storing pressurized hydrocarbon.
Okay,
these caverns have not.
And Joseph, let me jump in and say that, interestingly, Crestwood does address the issue of whether they would be contributing to the tax base, and they do not deny that they have fought their assessments, that they have fought to pay less. And Crestwood says through the website that they directed me to, quote, "No company or individual likes to pay taxes. Like many homeowners in New York State and across the United States, Crestwood challenged past property tax assessments. It's no different than a homeowner who bought a house for $100,000, finds it's been assessed at $200,000. Will, they're saying, look, you know, I mean, nobody wants to pay taxes. Yes, we're a big company from out of state, and yes, we'd like to cut our taxes down or pay nothing, but so would you, and that's all we're doing here. You have an issue with that?
I don't have an issue with paying less property taxes. What I have an issue with is good neighborliness or not good neighborliness. And Crestwood has exceeded their Clean Water Act permitted application amount of salination into the lake, quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter. They applied for the permit to be expanded so that they could store, or so they could discharge more salt into the lake. That permit was granted, and they exceeded that allowable limit quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter. And so I judge a tree by its fruits. I judge a vine by its grapes. And the point is, these salt caverns are cheap, but they're unsafe. And they, you know, in the world of gas storage, salt caverns only represent about 7% of the storage capacity of all gas stored underground. But they account for 100% of the accidents. So it's risk versus reward for us. There's no sales tax. They're property tax. They're working to mitigate it. A few jobs, you know, in the heart of wine country. You know, there's plenty of storage options, much safer than the abandoned salt caverns of Seneca Lake. And because there's no direct benefit, they don't have to be stored here.
Well, and I think the point I'm making is the company does not deny that it's not going to be a large number of jobs, and they don't deny that whatever they're paying in taxes, they're working with politicians to pay less. That is true. The company admits that, but they think that anybody would. Lou Damiani, before I let you go to talk to one of your colleagues down there, let me briefly read, and I want to quote, if I can find it, and I've got a stack of papers about a mile long on this issue. A number of winery owners have stepped up to call on Governor Cuomo, to call on the state or the DEC or anybody involved to intervene, to kind of stop this project. And I know you have. Here's a letter from Forge Sellers. And again, we mentioned Louis Barol, who is a Frenchman who chose the Finger Lakes for a project, one of the really hot winemakers in the world. His operation, called Forge Sellers, operating on Seneca Lake fruit. And here's quoting from their letter to Governor Cuomo just from last week. Quote, "As the Finger Lakes hits the world wine scene, do you want it to be known as one that is pristine and that can tout its greatest resource with pride? Or do you want it to be known as the wine region that sold out to big business because it is ignorant and short-sighted?" Lou, are you concerned at this stage that this is a hinge point for this wine industry locally and that this could have a negative impact in terms of slowing growth or even closure?
Well, I think that's exactly one of the big points. Louis Barol, Paul Hobbs, Johannes Selbach, they've all said if this project goes forward, they're not sure whether they're going to go forward with their projects. Hobbs and Selbach are already talking that they're going to pull the plug on a multi-million dollar visitor center and put this on a world map. More than it already is. This wine, New York State, and the Finger Lakes was a big part of it, was wine enthusiasts' wine region of the year. That's big stuff. But, Evan, just before I get off, there's just three things I want to say. First of all, to Crestwood, propane prices follow oil prices. So that they go up and down with the price of oil. Propane, for the most part, is a derivative of oil. It follows oil prices. Secondly, Joseph could correct me if I'm wrong, but during the gas storage of 64 to 84 that they already did, the salinity of Seneca Lake, and nobody's talking about this, the salinity of Seneca Lake went up, and now it's 3 to 5 times higher than any other Finger Lake. And when they pulled the gas out of those wells, the salinity level leveled off and hasn't gone up. So those are big issues. And third, and I want to leave this with your listeners, that gas and oil aren't the real commodity. Water is the big commodity. It's the commodity of the future. And we have some really good water and a lot of it. And why should we jeopardize a tourist industry that is just, you know, world-class water that is going to be and is starting to be one of the greatest commodities that any place has. So I just don't get the risk versus benefit. And I think people who want this are not looking at the big picture. I understand Crestwood. It's cheap storage. That's what they want. But I'm going to get off here and let you talk to my partner, Phil Davis.
Well, Lou, thank you. And here's what we're going to do on this program. We're going to take a 60-second break here. Our guests for the hour, as we talk about the LPG storage issue on the southern side, the southern end of Seneca Lake. In studio is Will O'Lean, owner of Oneida and Eagle Crest. And we have Lou Damiani, who just left us from Damiani Wine Cellars, his partner Phil Davis about to join us, who was recently arrested. Joseph Campbell from Gas Free Seneca is also with us this hour. We've invited Crestwood Energy, and I'm doing my best to try to represent some of their positions that they have expressed in various ways, also through a website. But they said that they could not join us live for this program, but perhaps on a future program. I'm Evan Dawson, short break. And your questions, by the way, if you want to join the program, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Much more next on member-supported public radio. Coming up in our second hour, abusing the chickens we eat. The New York Times ran an expose recently that showed that the big operations, especially with chickens, aren't nearly as pretty on the inside as the promotional advertisements would have you believe. Should we care about the conditions in which the animals are raised, the animals that we eat? We talk to local farmers and answer your questions next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. My colleague Michelle Faust is in studio here. You've been working on an Affordable Care Act project. What's the latest?
Always working on the Affordable Care Act. And people can find that information on our website, wxxi.org/ACA, and you can get all the updates on what's happening with the ACA. Today was supposed to be the deadline. It was the national deadline for people who to sign up through the exchange if they wanted their coverage to begin January 1st. Now, New York made a slight change in this. They have extended the deadline until Saturday. So it'll be December 20th instead of December 15th today. So people have a little bit of time. And the reason they're giving is the poor weather that we've had. A lot of people lost internet, you know, lost their coverage as far as electricity and internet. And so they weren't able to get on the exchange. And so the state's made that extension. So want people to know that if they're signing up for health coverage, but also that they can get their health coverage information on our website, wxxi.org/ACA. And please ask us questions.
Michelle, thank you very much. The website one more time?
WXXI.org/ACA.
All right, Michelle. Michelle Faust, my colleague, joining us here. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the LPG storage issue, liquid propane gas storage issue. Down on the southern end of Seneca Lake, there are a series of, we've been calling them salt caverns. They are mostly salt, but it's not just salt. And the caverns, which go pretty close to Seneca Lake and underneath Seneca Lake on the southern end, are sort of the proposed site for an expansion of storage of LPG by Crestwood Energy. It's a company out of Florida. They're not a fracking company, and this issue may not be directly instantly a fracking issue, though I think there's some question about whether, if it goes forward, would it help fracking as an industry locally. But the bottom line is, this is an issue that the local Finger Lakes wine tourism agriculture industry views with great concern. They view it as not compatible with a sort of a bucolic tourism industry, the addition of more heavy industry and more gas storage. And so you have this kind of bit of a standoff going on. But Joseph Campbell from Gas Free Seneca is with us this hour. Joseph, remind our listeners where things stand. I mean, I know Schuyler County is kind of on the side of the project, but where are we in terms of the development and what happens next?
Well, we're looking at what's called an issues conference coming up in February of next year, just a couple of months from now. We'll have a chance to bring our independent experts in to refute some of the claims that the company's making. We've got two reports written by two separate PhD geologists that directly refute the claim that these caverns are safe. We have a number of other experts. We're going to be joined by as an aside, Evan. The opposition to the storage region-wide is overwhelming. We have 260 or more local homegrown businesses on a coalition opposed to this project all across the Finger Lakes region. We have thousands and thousands of signatures on petitions. We have a coalition of municipalities forming There's going to be a conference next Sunday in Seneca Falls at the Gould Hotel, and we're inviting all the municipalities. 13 so far have passed resolutions against this project, most of them unanimously. We'd like to invite the city of Rochester to join us at that conference and perhaps sign on to our coalition, because the city of Rochester is part of the Finger Lakes Watershed Alliance. They're directly tied to the Finger Lakes through the majority of their water. Potable water comes from Hemlock Lake, where Will's Eagle Crest Vineyard is. So we hope to put a little more pressure on Governor Cuomo. The DEC answers to him. Governor Cuomo can put a stop to this project. We'd like our local and state and federal elected officials to weigh in on this. We've been pleading with them to intercede on our behalf for years now, years. And we haven't gotten anything from Senator Chuck Schumer, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Representative Tom Reed is strangely silent on this issue, even though he thinks that fracking should not be allowed in the Finger Lakes watershed. He seems to think that this is okay, but for all the same reasons that fracking shouldn't be allowed in the Finger Lakes are the same reasons that this project shouldn't be allowed in the Finger Lakes. So we're looking forward to our experts going up against their experts, and hopefully the law judge will see that we have significant and substantive issues, and that this will go to full adjudication, and our experts will get to present their testimony as to why this is just a bad idea, not just geologically, but economically and for a whole host of other reasons.
And to be fair here, because I have been citing from nypropaneadvocacy.com, which Crestwood Energy asked us to do for a lot of their own positions, Joseph Campbell from Gas Free Seneca, where would you direct listeners to go to hear your side of this debate?
Well, in the almost 4 years we've been doing this, Evan, we've amassed an enormous amount of information. They can go to our website. It's www.gasfreeseneca.com. We have all of our independent reports on there, the quantitative risk analysis that I believe it was Lou referred to earlier by Dr. Rob McKenzie's on there, where he cites that there's a more than 40% chance of a serious or extremely serious accident over a 25-year period. 25 years is not that long a period of time. In the last 25 years, the wine and tourism industry around Seneca Lake and in the Finger Lakes has just skyrocketed. There are over 100 wineries in the Seneca Lake watershed right now. More than half the wineries in all of the Finger Lakes are in that watershed. So I encourage people to go to our website. We don't put anything up there that's conjecture. All of this stuff is documented reports, expert testimony, and a lot of it comes from the company. They wrote the environmental impact statement. And in that environmental impact statement, they admit eight to ten jobs, Evan.
Eight to ten jobs.
Yes, and just a few hundred thousand dollars in property tax revenue to the Schuyler County and the town of Redding is a drop in the bucket compared to what the winery and tourism industry in the Finger Lakes generates on an annual basis.
Yeah, Joseph Campbell on the line with us, and if you are waiting on the phone to join the conversation, we're going to try to get through all phone calls in the last 10 minutes. 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Before I kick it over to Lou Damiani's partner, Phil Davis, one quick question for Will O'Lean, who's here from the wine industry. From your perspective, is the wine industry cohesive enough? We've been talking about Forge Cellars, Paul Hobbs and Johannes Selbach. You've got Damiani, you've got yourself, and you've got a lot of people. But is the industry cohesive enough in this fight? I mean, do you feel that way?
I know that initially 60 wineries out of the 119 in the Finger Lakes joined the Gas-Free Seneca Business Coalition. So as a first effort, I would say that 50% representation maybe a year or so ago was an excellent first indication. However, that leaves half or 50% of the wineries that either are uninformed or silent and haven't taken a position one way or the other. I don't take their silence as support for the Crestwood Project necessarily, but as we become more organized, the wineries and the winery industry, we're going to work harder to make people more aware of the facts as we see them. I know my colleagues who have come with outside investments into the Finger Lakes in the last few years, who have international wine making experience, look at the Finger Lakes as an opportunity for greater collaboration among wineries than we currently express. Being a longstanding member of the Finger Lakes wine community, and having come from an outside industry, not the wine industry, I found the people in the Finger Lakes to be extremely collaborative, at least to the degree that they're good-willed toward each other, and we don't see each other as competitors at all. We're collaborating. But I think that the expressed risk of this project, for those of us informed, it's just a matter of time before our colleagues that are not part of this initiative take a stand one way or the other.
The co-owner of Damiani is Phil Davis, and Phil Davis is one of the protesters who, December 1st, Phil, 2 weeks ago, you were arrested?
That's right. There was a group of us from the Schuyler County exclusively, including Scott Signore from Stonecat Cafe, several of us from various businesses and local citizenry got together to show our support for the civil disobedience side of this protest.
And for our listeners who may not be aware, again, Stonecat is one of the really great restaurants on the southeast side of Seneca. So you've got an owner and chef arrested. You've got Phil Davis from one of the top wineries and one of the top growers in the region, along with dozens more, Phil. And did you choose? I was reading that you were considering taking the jail time that they were offering. Did you go to jail?
That's going to happen this Wednesday.
You're going to jail.
Our arraignment happens. It seems to get people to actually pay attention, both in the media and in conversation, a little more dramatic statement has to be made, and that's one of my motivations for doing what I'm going to choose to do.
Phil is one of the most laid-back people you'll ever meet, so to go to jail is obviously that you've been pushed on this, Phil, but let me also say that you've got the company, Crestwood, saying, we don't want to hurt the wine industry. We have existed alongside them, and they are thriving. Phil, before I get to our phone calls, just a short word on your response when Crestwood says, we've been there. We're there now. We're not going to hurt you.
Well, they are so new in the area. They haven't even begun the development of this project that they're trying to put together here. And I think your other people on the radio here has made it pretty clear the incompatibility that we feel regarding their proposed project there.
All right, let me get to the phones, and we've got a panel who can help answer some of your questions. And I'm going to start with Roberta in Rochester. Go ahead, Roberta.
Yes, thank you. I'm actually from Canandaigua. And I'm calling because water is going to be the new oil. So even if we took out the idea of the wine industry, which is fabulous and should continue to grow, what about the issue of the fact that we in our area have water in abundance and people in the rest of our country on the West Coast and around the world struggle with this issue? If we start to pollute what we have, it is really a sacrilege, and I wondered what the panel thought of that.
Roberta, thank you for the phone call. I'm going to start right here with Will. Will, quick response to that.
We're fortunate to have our vineyard on Hemlock Lake, which has for a century and a half been the protected drinking water for the city of Rochester,
yep.
And we pump our own water out of Hemlock Lake and have for the last 142 years, and we know directly that water is life, and the Finger Lakes contains one of the most precious water sources in the Northeast. They want the fracking activity plan for New York, a side topic, but they plan to use over 85 trillion gallons of water to frack the wells in New York State. That's 10 times all the water contained in the Finger Lakes.
I have a feeling your fellow panelists will agree. Let me grab Edgar in Naples. Edgar, go ahead.
I was wondering if your panel could talk more about the project in Watkins Glen just being more of a build-out for the infrastructure of fracked gas and what the effect of pipelines would have on the landscape.
Edgar, thank you for the question. Joseph Campbell from Gas Free Seneca, he's saying that this is, I don't know if he would use the word Trojan horse, I've heard that used, essentially kind of the starter for the fracking industry to do more here. Yes or no?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the camel's nose under the tent. You know, once it gets its nose under the tent, the rest of it's soon to follow. This is infrastructure to support fracking. Even if we banned fracking in New York State completely forever and ever, this facility would still be storing fracked gas from Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia. And is it stored for local use? Well, yeah, probably not. It's going, it's being stored for export. The propane that's in those caverns would end up in New England, where, by the way, there are two propane storage facilities sitting idle while the industry is awaiting approval to turn them into export terminals.
Yeah, Crestwood Energy says they call this U.S. salt. They want this to be the hub for the Northeast, and that they say they're not a fracking company, that this is about building up their hub and that this is the right place to do it. That's what Crestwood says. This is Eric in Rochester. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi. The only thing I wanted to say is, remember what happened with Axo when they took over the salt mines and how irresponsible they were? They were somewhat responsible, but they had to be pushed when the mine collapsed. And that wasn't that long ago. And then they sold out. And I just worry that that's something that we're heading for if this project goes ahead.
Eric, thanks for the call. I'm not immediately familiar. Joseph or Phil, are you familiar?
Yeah, there was a salt mine collapse over near Letchworth State Park, the one of the biggest salt mines in the world. The roof collapsed. The Genesee River ended up filling that mine with water. They had sinkholes. They had contamination of the aquifer. The same thing could happen here. In fact, I think it was Lou alluded to the huge spike in the salinity of Seneca Lake when they started storing propane there. And Seneca Lake is already many times saltier than any of the other Finger Lakes. It's approaching the point in the sodium level where it could become unpotable. And it's a drinking water resource for 100,000 people. It's also 4.2 trillion gallons of fresh water. It holds fully half of all the water in all the Finger Lakes combined.
We're going to start to wrap the hour, and again, if we can't get to all of your questions, and I see the phone's now starting to go kind of go nuts here, which I'm not surprised. There's still a lot of interesting questions. This is we're going to have many conversations on this. Joseph, one more time, just a reminder on sort of the timeline coming up, and especially from the governor's side. I know the governor has been he delayed a decision on fracking till after the election. We may see more in the next few weeks on fracking. Now, this is not exactly fracking, but the question is, what is the governor going to do about it? I reached out to Lieutenant Governor Bob Duffy, the outgoing lieutenant governor, today, and he indicated that the state has not made a decision. So give us, again, one more kind of a timeline, a snapshot of what's coming up.
What's coming up is an issues conference where our experts go up against their experts. We try to convince an adjudicatorial or a administrative law judge, rather, that this needs to go to a full legal hearing. We hope that we can make the case that this is not a good fit for the region, but beyond that, that there are serious issues with the stability of those caverns. There was a 2.0 magnitude earthquake 12 miles north of this facility a year ago last September. 12 miles away on the fault line that intersects all these brine wells. So what we'd really like is for Governor Cuomo to just kill this project outright. Lieutenant Governor Duffy's ex-mayor of Rochester. He knows the Finger Lakes. He's got a house on Cuca Lake. Governor Cuomo just announced all the money that was distributed to the different regional economic councils. The Finger Lakes region got $80 million. I went briefly through the list of projects, and I didn't see one project related to gas storage.
All right, some final thoughts. Phil Davis from Damiani, among other projects down there, is it worth going to jail for over this project?
Well, if it keeps the public eye open, yes. If hopefully some elected officials start to perceive a little more the passion behind our opposition, yes. And I'm hoping that that's so.
And Will, What are you doing next? I mean, again, it's interesting to see you're over on Hemlock, but again, this project is starting to pull in people from farther out than just Seneca Lake. What is your next move here?
So 2 weeks ago, a small group of wineries got together as a steering committee led by Scott Osborne at Fox Run and Peter Saltonstall at King Ferry Tree Levin, John Engel at Heron Hill, and myself, the Hunts at Hunt Country, Lou Damiani, Chris Misick, Rick Rainey at Forge Cellars, the folks at Hazlitt, the folks at Hector Wine Company. And we formed the Finger Lakes Wine Business Coalition. You can go to flxwbc.com, flxwbc.com. You can join if you're a winery in the Finger Lakes or a business that derives income from the wine tourism industry. Please join us. This is going to be an official group that forms an issues agenda, and hopefully we'll be at the February 12th conference as well.
Will Olean from Oneida and Eagle Crest, thank you so much for taking the time to come in here.
Thank you, Evan.
Joseph Campbell from Gaspari Seneca, we'll talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan.
Phil Davis, Damiani, thank you, Phil.
Yeah, thanks for putting it out there.
Our thanks to Lou as well. And again, Crestwood has an open invite. We hope to have them on the program as we continue the conversation about what's happening down on Seneca Lake. Short break. We're talking about the way we raise the food we eat next.